I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Class is in session. Good evening, class. Welcome to Binary Gamer. My name is Tony Spears, and we're just going to throw all pretense aside. This is a show where I and sometimes my friends like to get together, and we talk about video games. And we talk about them because we're passionate, and we find them enjoyable, and we feel like what we have to share might just be worthwhile. So, you know what? That's what we're doing. Now, is this going to be educational? Maybe. Will it be informative? I'd hope so. Will it be entertaining? We'll see. So, I am solo this week. The main reason being is my current week was not looking so hot as far as my free time. And it just got out of hand. So, because of that, schedules got all mixed up and stuff. Things got a little crazy. And so, I am doing the podcast solo for the foreseeable future, but don't worry, that does not mean that we're not going to have some awesome stuff for you. That just means that it's going to be a lot of me, so I hope you like that, and if not, then I hope you can take it with a grain of salt. With that out of the way, let's get to it. So, what are we going to be talking about this week? Well, we're going to do a quick recap of the previous week and why I wasn't able to get to you guys, why I wasn't able to put out the podcast. We're also going to talk about the games that are going to be coming out this year and the ones I'm looking forward to the most. Now, this is not an all-inclusive list. This comes via GameSpot. And I do urge you to go to their website and look at the list of games coming out in 2018 if the game that you are the most hyped for is not in this list that I read off. But these are just the ones that I am either looking forward to, pique my interest in some way, shape, or form, or just, I mean, sound pretty cool in concept, but we'll have to see about execution. And then past that, a little bit of what I've been playing and the things I've been getting into. And there has been some of it that is actually kind of cool as far as the things I've been getting into. So let's start out with the previous week and what happened. Holy cow. All right. So for those that are new to the show, you may not know, but I am currently in the Army. I say currently because it's been a very long time, but I am serving in Uncle Sam's Armed Forces, and because of that, my schedule is not my own. In fact, my schedule hasn't been my own for 14 years now, so you can imagine that being a slave to the clock is kind of par for the course. Well, we were in the middle of a real big turnover in things, and without getting into too much detail, to be perfectly honest, it just went long. And there were some really late nights, and I'll be honest with you, I just did not have the energy to record anything for that matter, and trying to coordinate with the other guys to do the podcast was nigh impossible. In fact, I didn't really even get much gaming done. I was sitting here longingly wanting to play more Monster Hunter, but unfortunately, that did not happen. But that is now over. Fresh week. As you're hearing this now, my week is pretty well clear and on a normal schedule, so hopefully we won't have any more distractions, so yay, there's that. What I can say, though, is that the little bit of gaming I did get in was pretty good, and we'll talk more about that after we go over this list, this awesome, awesome list of games. So, let's get into that. Let's get into the list of games that are going to be released in 2018. So, the first part of this list has them by month, by day, when they'll be released. As I said before, this is not all-inclusive. This list is handpicked from everything that GameSpot had. I just was going over. I saw a whole bunch of them that looked really, really cool. And so I just started pulling from there. So without further ado, let's get into it. So the month of February is pretty much done at this point, but that does not mean that there aren't still good games going on. This podcast is being recorded on the 19th of February, and so far this month we have had The Seven Deadly Sins, Knights of Britannia come out, and Secret of Mana for the PS4, PlayStation Vita, and the PC. So, two reasons I'm hyped for this game. for these games. One, Seven Deadly Sins, really cool anime. If you haven't checked it out over on, I believe it's on Crunchyroll, but I know for a fact it's on Netflix. If you haven't checked it out, go and watch the first season. It is awesome. The second season should be coming out pretty soon, but man, it is a really cool anime. Probably one of the catchiest opening theme songs I've heard in a really long time. And just really good characters, good engaging characters, really well animated. The fight scenes are pretty awesome. Netflix has really been stepping it up with anime, but we're not here to talk about anime. We're here to talk about this game. So that was released on February 9th. The best way to put it is it's a very anime game, but it plays a lot like the City of Final Fantasy games. Most like the one that just came out recently. So a lot of your combat is against a lot of smaller, weaker opponents until you run into a boss. So it's kind of like Dynasty Warriors in that way, but it has a very like floaty feel to the combat. You know, you do real big jumps and you're, you know, shooting huge beams of power at the bad guys and stuff like that. So it looks and plays pretty cool, but bear in mind, you got to take that with a grain of salt because this is a game based on an anime. So a lot of it is cutscenes and different, like dialogues and stuff like that. There's a lot of story building going on here. So if you're cool with that and you're a fan of the series, you should give it a shot. So then we move on to Secret of Mana. That came out on the 15th. And this is really just I don't think a remaster is the way to put it, but it's essentially the original Secret of Mana game. Nothing really changed except for updated visuals. So it very much has the same look to it as, I guess a good analog would be like Skies of Arcadia, for those that are familiar. But it's very... Oh, no. Actually, I would say that it looks very much like Ni no Kuni in the art style, which is good. It looks really, really cool. And if you're a fan of the original Secret of Mana on the Super Nintendo, then you should definitely check this game out. Again, like I said, PS4, PlayStation Vita, and the PC. Definitely need to go check that out. A lot of the complaints from my friends about this game have been about the fact that they changed it to 16:9 instead of 4:3. They like changed the aspect ratio. I don't see that as a problem. If you want to play this on a, you know, large TV, it'll still look just as good as if you're playing it on the Vita. So go and get it. All right, so then on February 20th, we have Age of Empires Definitive Edition and Metal Gear Survive. So beginning with Age of Empires. So this is the completely retooled, redone version of the OG Age of Empires. Why is this cool? I will tell you why. If you have not seen the video that GameSpot has or that you can find in a lot of other places for this game, it looks amazing. The difference graphically between OG Age of Empires and this game is night and day. What I will say is that not only does it have a graphical overhaul, but they've also added a lot of things as far as like improved pathfinding for units. So like if you send cavalry units charging through a wooded area at a line of guys, they'll actually like split off and make their way through the woods more realistically, the way like real cavalry would, as opposed to just funneling down one narrow corridor to be smashed to death by, you know, by trebuchets and archers. So that's a good thing. Also, it just has improved AI, and you're also looking at like larger populations on screen. So now you have hundreds of units on screen at once, much larger scale battles. So if you're a fan of the Age of Empires series, or just a fan of RTSs in general, definitely check this out. I'm going to be checking this out myself when it comes out. It is going to be freaking awesome, and I cannot wait to play it. I am a real big fan of RTSs, specifically AOE, so I am really looking forward to this. So then we move on to Metal Gear Survive. And wow, man. So where do I begin with this? This game looks cool. That's the thing. This game looks cool, and this game is so much like Metal Gear Solid 5, The Phantom Pain Part 2, that it kind of weirds me out. So you make your own character, like you have your own avatar that you make, and then you're set into the world, and all these places, all these events take place immediately after The Phantom Pain. So Wormhole opens up and pulls you into this other dimension, and then you have to survive. Sorry. And like gather materials to make barricades and to build equipment, make weapons, things like that. in order to progress through the story. No one really knows what the overall story is right now. There's been some beta play out there, and it looks good. It plays identically to MGS5. So if you're a fan of that game, I mean, I very much am. If you're a fan of MGS5, you're going to like this game, because one of the things that it does is it takes that open world feel that MGS5 gave you and now adds in completely different gameplay elements and mechanics. And I think that's really cool, because a lot of people were really drawn to Phantom Pain for the whole building up your mother base and increasing your personal army mechanic of it and stuff. And this very much takes that to a greater degree. And I think it's going to be really cool. Also, the addition of what I can tell is drop in, drop out multiplayer is probably going to add some really cool dynamics to it. So definitely check that out. All right. So then we move on to March. And March brings us Assassin's Creed Rogue Remastered. See, this one's weird, because Assassin's Creed Rogue came out at the same time Black Flag did. Black Flag was on PS3 and PS4. And then Rogue came out on the PS3 only. And as far as my recollection is concerned, Rogue just kind of fell to the wayside. Apparently it was a pretty decent game, but no one really cared. And it just kind of came and went. Now they have the remastered version on PS4 and Xbox One. I assume it's going to have some type of improved gameplay or performance for the PS4 Pro and or the Xbox One X. But regardless, it looks really cool. I think it's going to be a nice, what's the word I'm looking for here? A nice refreshing dip back into that part of that duo of games that came back out, because everybody has played Black Flag to death at this point. I'm pretty sure if you're listening to this podcast and you play games at all, you either have some cursory knowledge of Black Flag or have played it yourself. Rogue, like I said, was kind of under the radar. Not many people were looking for a new Assassin's Creed game at the time when the PS4 had first launched and the PS3 was kind of out the door. It was very much people were, you know, hanging on to those communities they were playing in. I know I personally was still hoping and praying they were going to fix Battlefield 4 before I had to, you know, eventually give up on my PS3 and move on to the PS4. But, well, that's a whole different story. Regardless, though, this game is worth looking at. At least check out a couple Let's Plays to see if you're interested in it, mainly because it's a really cool story. It's more of, so instead of the typical, oh, we're the assassins, we must stop the Templars, you know, drama ensues, this game is very much you are a assassin that falls out with the Brotherhood and you join the Templars to hunt the assassins. So different story, different take on it. Give it a look. So that's March 20th. On March 20th, we're also getting Sea of Thieves, Xbox One and PC. If you have not seen anything about this game online, I don't know what you've been doing. Probably surfing the internet with your eyes closed. I don't know, because it seems like I can't go anywhere on YouTube without running into a video of a bunch of people playing Sea of Thieves. And the game looks cool. Like, it looks pretty legit. I actually am interested in checking this game out. Now, do I think this is going to be the end-all, be-all, open-world pirate answer that I want? No. It's never going to do for me what Sid Meier's Pirates did on the Sega back in the day. But is it going to be really cool to play this game with my friends online and roam around and shoot each other from cannons and, you know, get into ship-to-ship battles and hunt for treasure and stuff like that? Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I just don't think it's going to capture that moment like a lot of people are hoping that it is, or a lot of people are expecting it to. And people have been doing a lot of data mining on this game, and there's a lot of different things that have been popping up, especially Tales of a Kraken, if you will, some sea monsters, which, I mean, let's be perfectly honest, a game set in a pirate setting with ships and everything like this, and then if you don't have sea monsters, like, what is the point? I mean, come on. Like, there's already mermaids in this game. Like, obviously, we need a kraken. We need some kind of leviathan, like a giant shark. Like, bring on a megalodon. That would be both parts cool and terrifying to see. I mean, kraken, most of all, terrifying, because they can be enormous. I just hope they don't go like Wrath of the Titans type. Clash of the Titans. Yeah, Clash of the Titans had the Kraken in it. But yeah, I hope they don't go that route. I just hope it's a giant squid that is just wrecking ships and, like, you know, can take on 3 or 4 ships at once. That would be amazing. But c'est la vie. Moving on. So then Titan Quest coming to PS4 and Xbox One March 20th. This game should not even be on this list. This is mind-blowing to me. So Titan Quest was made by Ironforge Studios and released by Relic, or published by Relic, pardon me. And then, but this was back in, I want to say 2009. No, those are before that. It was like 2007. And this game is cool. By all accounts, this is a really cool game. If you're not familiar, it's very much a Diablo-like isometric viewpoint. You create your class and you're going through and you're slaying monsters and getting loot. And you're going through and you're moving your way through the campaign, right? And you're running into the bosses and getting more epic loot and so on and so forth. You level up. It's a really good game. It is a solid one of those games. Now, the reason why this is crazy is because just recently it got DLC, and that was mind-blowing in and of itself, because DLC had come out for the game initially. So you had Titan Quest, and you had Titan Quest The Immortal Throne, which was the original DLC that came out almost in tandem with the original game. Then you're looking at 10 years later. Yeah, just about 10 years later, and it gets the Ragnarok DLC, which just came out a couple months ago. And now it's getting a port to consoles. This is mind-blowing to me. I don't know how this is going to look on these new machines, because even with the Ragnarok DLC on PC, it does look good, but it still looks dated, very much dated. It's not... You're not looking at like 4K, you know, 4K textures here. It's not even, I mean, to an extent, it's kind of pushing the 1080 standard in a lot of ways. I just think it's crazy that this game is getting this, it's not even a breath of life. It's like a full-blown resurrection. Like, the gaming necromancers have come out of the woodwork and they're like, there's a long list of games that have been dead now. Pick that one. And they just brought it back from the dead and just pump new life into it. It's absolutely crazy. I'm really looking forward to see how it does on console, because it was really surprising to me how well Diablo 3 did being that type of game on console. So I want to see how this one does, because if this really takes off, then this could really find an audience on console, because it is, while it is a really fun loot grind game, it's a very simple game. So if it catches on, great. And I hope they come out with more DLC. I hope this game goes on for a while. That would be rad. But again, moving on. So then on March 27th, we have Far Cry 5. A lot of people have been looking forward to this game. There's a lot of hype built up around this game right now. Is it going to be as good as Far Cry 3? I could not tell you. To be perfectly honest, to say that this game is going to live up to what Far Cry 3 and even Far Cry 4 to a small extent did, it's not even fair to try and put it up against those games. Far Cry 3 was revolutionary in the way that it played and the setting and the story and how you interacted. Far Cry 4 was trying to ape that a lot. And I'm trying to really get my head around what could possibly, you know, like what the hook could be for this game as far as, oh man, like you got to check this out. But I don't know. I think a lot of what's going to drive it sales-wise is the controversy that's been going on. It very much is, what's the word I'm looking for? It's playing off of the times, the political climate that we're in. It's, you know, set in the rural, like, Midwest to, like, Northeast. I'm not 100% sure the area. I think it's supposed to be something like Montana. But, you know, there's a local cult leader of a religious cult, and he's kind of turned the town to his ways, and it's the political symbology there is very apparent. So if you want to check that out, by all means, go ahead. I'm actually probably going to pass on this one, because as much as I loved Far Cry 3 and kind of stomached Far Cry 4, I don't know if the Far Cry series is going to pull me back in unless I see some really good reviews and some cool gameplay come out of it after it comes out. So I won't be getting this at launch for sure, but I will check it out later on, depending upon what people say. Oh man, there's a frog in my throat. All right, so moving on to April. April 20th brings us God of War. That was the big one in April for me because, well, it's God of War. If you've been living under a rock and you haven't seen anything about the new God of War game coming out, long story short, Kratos has a son apparently that kid has just as much of a smart mouth as he does. And they are going through Norse mythology, slaying monsters, and apparently going after the gods. I'm really hoping that this game has a throwdown with Thor. I know that that's kind of, what's the word I'm looking for? It's kind of lame considering the current climate with, you know, like the Avengers movies and stuff like that. I'm not expecting this particular Thor to look like Chris Hemsworth with a red cape. That would be kind of cool if he did, though. But this game is going to be, I think, a lot different from the previous God of War games that you've seen. If nothing else, just in the perspective that you're playing it in, it plays very much like the most current Tomb Raider games, a lot like The Last of Us or Uncharted. Has that feel to it. Combat still very God of War-ish. You're still going around just murking monsters, and let's be real, that's what we want from Kratos. But now he's got his kid to protect, so there's that bit of a... You know, it's funny because if you think about it, Kratos is kind of like an analog for Vegeta. If you're familiar with Dragon Ball Z at all, you know, Vegeta starts out as this kind of like, meh, I'm Vegeta, and I'm better than everybody, even though he gets his ass whooped. And then, you know, he settles down, he has kids, and eventually has a family, and then pretty soon he starts seeing that, you know, the important things to really fight for, to really work for, are your family, and not so much just your pride. And I'm kind of seeing Kratos as sort of an analog to Vegeta, where, like, in the beginning, Kratos was just going around murdering all of the Greek gods because, you know, his family died, and he just got angry, and he's like, I am Kratos, and I shall murk all of you fools, and he does so in gloriously gory fashion. This has him just kind of being a father figure to an extent. And, I think it's going to be really cool. I look forward to playing this game. So that takes us out of April and moves us into May. So May only has a few entries here. Well, actually, I only have one. And that would be Dark Souls Remastered. Now, I know what you're saying. I know what you're thinking. Man, there have been so many Dark Souls games, and they've remastered Dark Souls before. But this is primarily pointing toward the version that's going to go to the Switch. So it's going to be Dark Souls for PS4 and Xbox One, and on the Switch and PC, May 25th. So what's interesting about this, and I'm going to put the link to this in the show notes of this episode, so please check it out. But there's a box set that's going to come with this, and it is $450. And I know what you're saying. What in the name of all that is video games is possibly worth $450? Now, I'm not saying that these objects exactly, like, what's the word I'm looking for? Man, words today, Tony, telling you. I'm not saying these justify the price, but man, it is hilarious to me. So this box set includes, are you ready? Because I don't think you are. This box set includes Dark Souls Remastered, Dark Souls 2, Scholar of the First Sin, Dark Souls 3, The Fire Fades Edition, and also comes with soundtracks for each of those games, a Night and Bonfire bookend set, which actually looks really cool, an encyclopedia, and a, what it says here, a unique art book. Unique art set, and is due out in Japan on May 24th, and will cost roughly $450. Like I said, I'm going to link this in the show notes, but man, this had better be... it better be amazing. And granted, the soundtracks are really good, but come on, man. $450, that's insane. Like, just the games alone, okay, that's three games, including the DLC that comes out for all those, because those are, like, the definitive editions of each of those games. That can't be more than what, $70? $75 at most. And they're going to charge all this and a bag of chips. So if you're really into Dark Souls, if you're a super big fan of the Souls series, and you just can't live without this, I pray for your bank account, because that is brutal. More power to you. See you in May. All right, so moving on to June, we have Blaze Blue Cross Tag Battle. Now, normally I don't put these kinds of games on here. This comes out June 5th, Switch, PC, and PS4. I'm not a big fan of fighting games. I find one that I'll latch onto for a long while. Like, I was playing Skullgirls 2 for quite a long time, up until actually recently when I started playing Street Fighter 4 again, and most recently, Dragon Ball FighterZ, which if you haven't played that, you should. That game is rad. The main reason I like this game and why I'm looking forward to it, and I will actually probably buy it, is because it has DLC characters going to be coming out from the show Ruby. So if you're familiar with Ruby, spelled R-W-B-Y, it's a show, it's an animated show by Rooster Teeth. Again, it's an anime, but it's unique in that the characters in the game, in the show, all have these weapons that double as melee weapons and some type of ranged weapon, right? So the main character, her name is Ruby, spelled normally, R-U-B-Y, has a scythe, it's a giant scythe, that turns into a sniper rifle. Her sister has basically gauntlets that double as shotguns. One of their friends has a Beretta 9mm that is a katana, and the other one has a revolver that just have, well, it's like half revolver, half rapier that shoots magical bullets. So you can imagine it's really cool, and adding that those dynamics and those mechanics to a fighting game is going to be really interesting. So I'm looking to see how that plays out. That will be in June. So then we fast forward to October. I know it's going to be quite a slump in the summertime and it's going to suck, but think of all of the awesome Blaze Blue you get to play in those hot, sweltery months. No big deal, kids, because in October, on October 26th for PS4 and Xbox One, the game you are the game everybody's looking forward to, the only game that really matters this year, Red Dead Redemption 2. And man, oh freaking man, I'm looking forward to this game too for a lot of reasons. Mainly because I love the first Red Dead Redemption. I thought that the Undead Nightmare DLC was really good. Red Dead Online was kind of meh, but if you look at what Grand Theft Auto Online has become now, the obvious addition of Red Dead Redemption 2's online multiplayer is going to be amazing. So I'm definitely looking forward to that because, man, just to be able to like to get your posse together and just go roaming around the West and just messing stuff up, man. Like doing, you know, like robbing stagecoaches and like, you know, doing train heists and stuff like that. It's going to be so rad. I am really looking forward to that. So, and of course, there's also the bubblings under the surface. People talking about there possibly being a Battle Royale component to this game. I really hope not. I've actually truly pray that there is not any type of Battle Royale. But if they do, it'll be interesting to see how that goes. Because honestly, I don't know if that's a game mechanic that could fit into this type of genre, you know, with it being a Western. But hey, I've been wrong before, so we'll see. All right, so the rest of the games on this list don't have any like definitive dates right now. Well, I should take that back. Kingdom Hearts 3 does. So we'll start with Kingdom Hearts 3. Kingdom Hearts 3 is coming out PS4 and Xbox One, and I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of hyped. I don't want to be as hyped as I am for this game, but man, it actually looks really cool, and I want to play it, and I really hope it's the last ever Kingdom Hearts game. Just be done with it. Just 3 and out. We're done. Like, I just need the story to wrap up. I need everybody to be okay. I want Sora and Riku and everybody to just be happy, and life goes on, and Goofy and Donald can go back to their lives, and King Mickey can come out of the darkness and go back and be the king of everything. I think he is. I don't remember the story exactly, but God, it was good, and they need to just end it at this. No more games. Done. I'm looking forward to this very much. I want to play it. Kingdom Hearts 3. Get hyped. So after that, not quite as hyped, but Crackdown 3 coming to Xbox One and PC. A lot of people like the Crackdown series, and the inclusion of Terry Crews as a voice actor in this game kind of makes me want to play it a little bit, because I think Terry Crews is everything that's right with the world. But it's not, I don't know, the series has been gone so long, and that's not to say that Kingdom Hearts hasn't, but at the same time, Kingdom Hearts has a almost rabid fan base, whereas Crackdown, not so much. If it's even half as good as Crackdown 2, then I think the game will do fine, but it might be a case of the game being hyped and in development for so long that it kind of goes the way of Duke Nukem Forever, as opposed to what is obviously going to be Kingdom Hearts 3. So look forward to that. So then we have, again, for PS4 and Xbox One, Left Alive. So the reason I have this one on here is because a lot of people involved with this had their hands in the Metal Gear Solid series, in Armored Core, in a lot of really cool games, And mostly I am emphasizing in all caps here, Armored Core, because that's one of my all-time favorite series of games. I would love for a new Armored Core game to come out, but Left Alive will have to do in the meantime, because I love games where you play as a mech. And this game very much is the, like, well, the protagonist looks like your average, like, oh, I've been a soldier for so long, I don't know how to soldier. And a lot of it is going on in mechs and, like, large-scale battles, and looks really cool. The other cool part about it is that it's not all taking place inside of giant robots. There's also, like, on-ground moments as well. A lot of the gameplay looks really cool, and it actually is kind of reminiscent of games like Killswitch and Windback to me, very much like Corridori, really tight shooting and stuff. So I'll be interested to see how that whole thing plays out. So moving on, almost to the end of the list here, we have Project Octopath Traveler, working title, by the way, coming out for the Switch. So reason why you should get hyped for this game is because it is very much equal parts Final Fantasy Tactics and Bravely Default. It's from the same people that brought you Bravely Default, but it, from the visual aesthetic of it, it has a lot of things that have been inspired by the tactics genre or series, if you will. And while it's not looking like it's going to have the grid-based combat system, it's very much going to be your classic turn-based, you know, three on this side, three on the other in your fight. Just the look of it, the feel of it, and what I'm seeing as the story of the game look to be very compelling, and I'm actually really looking forward to playing it. I don't currently own a Switch. This might actually be the game that gets me to purchase a Switch, because as much as I think Mario Odyssey looks amazing, I can't really justify that without playing with my kids, so we'll have to wait. And I already played Breath of the Wild, and that game was amazing on the Wii U. I have no doubt it's just as amazing on the Switch, but to be honest with you, I don't have the time nor the money. What I am looking forward to, though, is Project Octopath Traveler, and especially with it being a portable system, I'm looking forward to taking that on the go and playing through that story and having a good time with it. So, coming down to the final three, we have Shenmue 3. I never thought I would ever say those words. Shenmue 3. PS4 and PC. So, funny thing about this, actually, is that Chris... past co-host on the podcast, awesome friend of mine, also my cousin, he was actually in the Kickstarter for this game when, it was years ago, I think it was 2009 when this Kickstarter started. He put up $20 for it, and he gets emails every once in a while talking about development, but now it's actually going to be coming out, and he is super stoked because he already has a copy. So he is very much looking forward to this game, and to be honest, it's also a kind of like one of those things like Kingdom Hearts 3 where they just need to wrap it up. They just need to wrap up the story. Like, let's just figure out how the story ends and just put Shenmue to bed so we never have to think about it ever again. And that's it. The end. Done. So then the next game, probably one of the biggest hyped games this year for the PS4, is the new Spider-Man game. And this game does look really cool, man. The PlayStation has had a great track record of awesome Spider-Man games over the course of years. Some not so good, some flipping amazing. And I think this one is going to fall into the flipping amazing category. If you saw the trailer during, I believe it was the PlayStation, this year's PlayStation Experience, or it might have been at PAX, but regardless, go look up that trailer. It looks awesome. Just the way the gameplay goes and how fluid everything looks, and Spider-Man is zipping around New York looking like a boss. It looks really rad. And I, for one, look forward to playing the ever-loving crap out of this game. It looks really, really cool. So be on the lookout for that. And finally, last but not least, one that is near and dear to my heart because I am hoping that the rumors for it are true, but Valkyria Chronicles 4. So PS4, Xbox One, and the Switch. So I've played almost all of the Valkyria Chronicles games, and I like these games for a lot of reasons, primarily because it's a really good fictional depiction of, well, essentially extraordinary people, ordinary people put into extraordinary scenarios with this huge war that's going on and them trying to win the war, but also to look out for each other. And it has a great story and awesome characters If you haven't played it, go and check it out. I know Valkyria Chronicles 1 is on Steam. It'd be really hard to track down because I think the first one came out on PS2, I think, is where I played it. But regardless, the series is worth going and checking out before Valkyria Chronicles 4 does arrive. What I will tell you, though, is that right now, from what people are saying, is this is supposed to actually end the series. Like, this is supposed to be the last in the series of the games because they're supposed to be wrapping up the entire story for this. I know I made jokes about Kingdom Hearts 3 and Shenmue 3 and even Crackdown 3, you know, about them wrapping it up and stuff like that. But I feel like Valkyria Chronicles is a series of games that needs to come to some type of definitive end. I think that having a good, solid, well-written, and well-executed ending is something that will make this game resonate with its audience, but also people that aren't familiar with it for a very, very long time. So I look forward to this game, like, immensely. And I'm actually planning on doing, well, I probably shouldn't say it out loud because that's how I end up not doing it, but I do want to do, like, a full playthrough, maybe a series of long plays, I don't know, of Valkyria Chronicles 1, and then essentially explaining the series on through various media until we get to Valkyria Chronicles 4. So be on the lookout for that, because if I can pull it off, then I'll probably do it. All right, so with that is the list of everything coming out in 2018. It's a long list, and it's not all-inclusive. Like I said, head over to GameSpot to check out their full list. There's a lot of games on there, like more games you can shake a stick at. There really is kind of a dead period during the summertime, but that's to be expected. It's the summer. Not a lot of games come out then. The big dogs want you to play their games in the summertime over the course of your break while you and your homies are hanging out outside of school. And if you're a 30-something like myself, while your kids are out of school and you're at work, you can daydream about playing the games you want to play. So, hey. Here's to being in your 30s. So let's round it out with what I've been playing and why it's actually kind of relevant, because it's actually kind of funny in a way. So I've been playing a lot of Monster Hunter. Holy cow, have I been playing a lot of Monster Hunter. And this game still has its hooks in me. It is so good. It's a lot of fun to play. And oddly enough, I'm playing the whole thing solo, having a blast. So I haven't played online for a number of reasons, but mainly because I wanted to get through the main story before I went in to do any multiplayer, because the main complaints I've heard about multiplayer all revolve around the various cutscenes and how if a person you're playing with hasn't seen the cutscene for a certain area, then you can't bring them into your hunt. A lot of different things revolving around the story beats of the game. So I just wanted to get through that, and that way I can do all of the additional stuff on the back end without any problems in multiplayer. So I'm looking forward to finishing up, you know, the rest of my run, if you will, in the back end with some multiplayer. And it's going to be really awesome. It's one of the few games that I've seen where people are having a lot of fun just playing with randos. And I think that's cool. I think it's cool that, you know, based upon the equipment that you have, the weapons you selected, everybody kind of understands their roles. And so it's really just a matter of fulfilling your role and backing each other up. And that's one of the few things that Monster Hunter does that other multiplayer games can't, is there's a lot of nonverbal communication, and that's really cool. Not many games can pull that off. So, like I said, I'm definitely looking forward to finishing up this game and hopefully finally really setting it down and not playing it for a while, because there are other games I need to play. For instance, Rainbow Six Siege. Now, I know what you're thinking. Tony, this is an old game. Old game is old. Yes, it is an old game, but it is still very much alive. So, man, it's really funny to me how a lot of these Tom Clancy games just kind of, like, they come out and they have a big, big boom and they're, you know, really hot, and then they just kind of not fade off into obscurity, but, like, they're not in the spotlight anymore. Not like games like PUBG or, you know, Monster Hunter, for example, or Dragon Ball FighterZ. Like, those games, they come and go in big bursts of popularity. But the Tom Clancy games, for some reason, like Ghost Recon Wildlands, The Division, Rainbow Six, those games just keep a dedicated fan base. And so when Chris was talking to me about, hey, man, we should check out Ghost Recon. Man, I keep saying Ghost Recon. I do want to play Wildlands again, but that's not the point. He was like, hey, let's go and check out Rainbow Six. I was like, man, I haven't played a Rainbow Six game in forever. In fact, the last Rainbow Six game I played was Rainbow Six Vegas, not Vegas 2, Vegas. And so we got it and we booted it up on Steam and got in there, and man, I was in over my head. Like, not only do you have to put in a lot of time just to figure out the operators and to figure out, you know, just general game mechanics, because it's very different from other shooters. It's a lot faster. Like, violent movement is rewarded with victory a lot of the time. It's not as like slow and methodical as a game like PUBG. In fact, in a lot of ways, it's even faster than a game like Call of Duty. But also, because there is that solid ride or die fan base for this game, it has a very rabid, very talented group of people playing it. And man, I was just getting smoked. It was ridiculous how bad I was getting beat. Now, granted, I've had some wins. I've had some pretty solid victories. Came out on top in a couple gunfights. So, I'm getting there. But really, it's a matter of just repetition and just, you know, just grinding the axe until I get the skills necessary to win. The other thing is that with the limited choice of operators that I have right now, I really have to learn to master them in certain scenarios that are kind of outside of what they're built for until I can get more currency in order to unlock other operators. Now, the problem that I'm having right now is the dilemma of trying to not get pulled in to paying for new operators, because right now I could buy the season 3 pass or the year 3 pass, and that will get me all 8 operators for this year. Or I could play and play and play and play and grind out in-game currency to unlock individual operators, not to mention all the operators I don't have from the previous years. So as you can imagine, it's kind of irritating. I'm still very much on that fence. I don't know what I'm going to do yet. I don't want to sink a whole bunch of money into a game that I've already put money into. But at the same time, I don't know. I'm thinking I might just get the season 3 pass or the year 3 pass. I don't know why they call it year 3. The new pass, just to get those operators so I have a little more to work with. Because to be perfectly honest with you, the 4-5, if you count the recruit, that I have to work with right now are good. But it's not exactly great, and I get hamstrung in a lot of scenarios where probably should have had a different loadout or had a different operator for this particular scenario, but that just is what it is. Aside from that, I had a really nice stream a couple days ago playing some Super Mario World, thanks to my Super Nintendo Classic Edition. Unfortunately, it has a bunch of baked-in ads because YouTube's copyright claims, while valid, are a little excessive. So I don't know. I'm thinking I'm probably not going to stream any more Super Nintendo stuff, probably ever, because I like to have the YouTube channel without ads. I don't see the point in monetizing it, honestly, when what I am providing you, while I enjoy doing it, and I hope you enjoy watching it or listening to it in the instance of this podcast, I don't feel like it's anything that warrants me asking you for money. I enjoy doing this. I do this in my free time because I like it. And like I said, I hope you do. But at the same time, I just can't feel right about, you know, putting in ads to try and get, you know, 20 cents every year. Like, what's really the point in that? You know what I mean? Now, if I was doing this full time, you know, had gone like full Kind of Funny or, you know, full Jacksepticeye, then I could do that. But meh, I like where I'm at. I like having a job that I know the paycheck's coming in. And I also like just making videos and making this podcast. So yeah, it's a good middle ground, I think. And speaking of the middle ground, I think we're going to get to the end now. And that's going to do it for this podcast. Yep, that's going to do it. I went over the list, talked about last week, and I talked about what I played. And that'll do it. Cool beans. So thank you very much for listening. Remember, you can find Binary Gamer on YouTube. Just go over to YouTube and search Binary Gamer. You will find us there. Of course, you can listen to the podcast and all the places that you listen to your podcast, whether it be iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music. If you can listen to people talking in the microphones over there, you can find Binary Gamer. Also, hit me up over on Twitter at iFlipTheSwitch. And just let me know what you want to talk about. Like, if you want me to talk about something very specific, then I can do that. If you just want to hear more of me talking about the current state of games and my opinion on games, then by all means, I'll keep doing that too. But I would really like some audience feedback. I would like to get your views and opinions on the show, because if I know what to cater to you guys, then I can, you know, I can formulate the content of this show around that. So please, by all means, hit me up. You can DM me on Twitter. I don't care. You can, you know, just at me on Twitter, and we'll talk it over. And I am taking any and all suggestions. I still do want to do more history of type stuff, but I think I'm going to have to pick something very specific to get into, because I realized the last couple ones I did, a little too broad, and I got really overwhelmed with the research. But neither here nor there. Once again, thank you very much for listening. I hope you have an awesome week. I love your faces. Go play some video games.
I'm Jay Farner, CEO of Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. We've created a new way to protect you from unpredictable interest rates. Our exclusive Rate Shield approval. First, we lock your interest rate for up to 90 days. Then, if rates go up, your rate stays locked. But if rates go down, your rate drops. Either way, you win. Call us today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com.
Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year fixed rate loans. Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLS number 3030. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply.
Wherever you go, however you go, for energy on the go, it's got to be 5-Hour Energy. It works fast, it works long, it tastes good, and with zero sugar and 4 calories, there's nothing holding you back. Fits your pocket, fits your backpack, fits your on-the-go life, whether you're going to work, going on vacation, or just going out with friends. 5-Hour Energy. Energy on the go. For more information, visit 5hourenergy.com.